Sis, let me ask you something. Are you tired of starting strong and slipping back into old patterns? If you're ready to develop real discipline, that is spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, then this 21-day discipline bootcamp is for you. I am inviting you to join my 21-day discipline bootcamp happening April 21st through May 12th, 2025. This is a transformational experience for Black female entrepreneurs and leaders who are ready to align their behaviors, mindsets, and emotional responses with the Word of God. Let's face it, y'all. It's time to break cycles. Okay, it's time to build consistency and become the focused, self-controlled, purpose-driven woman you were created to be. If you are ready to transform your mind, your emotional responses, and your behaviors that align with Christ, go ahead and click the link in my show notes or go to thedreak.com/21daybootcamp. This bootcamp will be jam-packed with prayer calls, live sessions, weekly coaching videos, community, and more. This is it. This is the moment. This is your opportunity to transform your mind, your will, and your emotions by learning to develop discipline in the very areas where the enemy has dwelled in. This is the moment that you have been waiting for. This is the moment you have been praying to God for. I am so incredibly proud of you for making this decision to take the next step in your spiritual and emotional development journey. I am so excited to see you all there. Let's go ahead and get back into the episode.
Girl, look.
Don't use God. Don't use God for your own personal.
Because he sees it. And the more you're pursuing after this answer, the more you're
burning yourself out. You're burning your energy out. The farther and farther away you are becoming.
We're not pursuing the old us, okay? We're going after the things that God has for us. I don't know what y'all going after. That's none of my business. That's none of my business. But we're going after. Going after the things that God has for us.
Okay.
All right. Just making sure.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Drea K, back with another episode of the Living in Pursuit podcast. I hope you guys are doing well. If you ain't, you out of line, okay? So you need Jesus, okay? You need the Lord, all right? He's there, okay? He's there for you. Open up that Bible, all right? Spend some time in worship, okay? I don't know what's going on, but crack open that Bible. Read some scripture, okay? Call on him. He is ready to help you. Amen. What's up, y'all? So, we're back with another episode. I feel like a lot of us are literally inside of Gilgal. Drea, what are you talking about? So, in the scriptures, Joshua chapter 4 and chapter 5, especially chapter 4, when God had delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, this was after Moses died and Joshua had took over. And now Joshua, it was time for him to lead the Israelites into the promised land. So when God had parted the Red Sea or the Jordan, is this the Jordan? Yeah, he parted the Jordan Sea and the Israelites had crossed over. They didn't necessarily go straight into the promised land. Are you with me now? Are y'all hearing me? Did you catch it? Okay. So Gilgal was a little city outside of the promised land, right? And so, y'all, the Lord is speaking to me right now, and I'm trying to get through this episode without, like, giving y'all way too much, but I'm gonna have to do a video about this. But anyway, for the sake of this episode, let me contain myself. These people sitting outside of the promised land, looking at what's going on in the promised land, right? But God was Jesus, he was preparing them to be circumcised, which back in that day, it was considered a cutting away of the flesh. My God, Jesus. This is not in my notes. But clearly, somebody needs to hear this. So, as they were inside of Gilgal, they were going through circumcision. So, like the priest and the people that God was about to use inside of the promised land, they had to get cut. Oh, is it hitting you? Like it's hitting me? Okay. God has been cutting away our flesh. All right. Because, like we have been saying for the past couple of weeks, these things that we are battling with in our flesh, that can't go inside the promised land with us. We have to get a hold of what is going on in our flesh, right? So, you know, everything that we have been doing in our flesh, whether that be sexual or just addictive and just things that aren't good for us, and we know that this is something that the Lord is telling us to cut away. Okay. He's allowing us and really just calling us to cut it away. Right before we get into the promised land, before we get into the place he actually has for us, right? So anyway. So Joshua and the Israelites are going through their circumcision. They are being consecrated. They are basically being prepared to dwell inside the promised land, right? So Gilgal is the place where all of this is happening. Gilgal is also a place of memorial. God told Joshua to lay down 12 stones to, I guess, be like a monument of all that God has done. So everything that, you know, God brought them out of, even the first go round before they had to endure 40 years in the wilderness, even when they were with Moses, just all of the things that God had provided for them in that time, the manna that God was providing for them, you know, I would say crumbs. God was giving these people crumbs. Okay, let's just keep it real. God was giving these people crumbs until they got into the promised land where the manna would stop, right? And it literally says, so Joshua chapter 5, verse 12, it literally says, the manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. So when they got into Canaan, the breadcrumbs stopped and they were able to eat the fruit that Canaan had. I'm going to try to unpack this in the best possible way I can. I'm saying a lot of us are in the city of Gilgal right now, like metaphorically, but physically, you are in literally in a place where God has been preparing you to enter into your next. You are literally at a pit stop. Okay, you thought, let me just talk for me. When I was getting evicted from my apartment, I thought I was going straight into the promised land. Mind you, months before or weeks before any of that had happened, God had already started talking to me about a pit stop. He already started talking to me about having to depend on people to like where the place I am going. I had to depend on people. And in my mind, I'm like, why would I have to depend on people if I'm in the promised land? That's crazy. But he gave me the scripture in Luke that talks about the disciples having to depend on, you know, certain people. Wherever they went, they had to depend on other people to, you know, feed them and clothe them and just give them a place to stay as they were out doing ministry, right? And so God's speaking to me and talking to me about this as I'm in my apartment. And I'm sitting up here like, okay, what you talking about, Jesus? Whole time, God was preparing me to come here, the pit stop, the place before the promised land, Gilgal. God was preparing me for Gilgal. I'm thinking I'm going straight to the promised land. He's like, no, not yet. Oh, I have to cut away some things. I have to get your flesh under control. All right. I have to renew your mind. I have to really, we have to go deep into the root of some things that are causing you to act outside of your flesh. Right. So in the last episode, we talked about unbelief, unforgiveness, and bitterness and things like that, which are emotions that cause you to act in your flesh, and also mindsets that you develop when you begin to come into agreement with the enemy, right? So whole time God has been having me in Gilgal, and I'm sitting up here like, Lord Jesus, you are good. You are good. And not to mention last night, I was watching Grey's Anatomy and I had got up to do something. And as I'm getting up, I'm not even tuned in to what was going on the episode. I'm thinking in my mind all at once, because I'm thinking, why has God got me doing all of this stuff at once? And then he reminded me of the actual video, the prophecy that I did 2 years ago. It's called All At Once. I think it's an episode on here. Y'all just gonna have to go back and listen to it, but it's called All At Once, right? And I think I was talking about this before I got evicted. But anyway, I'm watching Grey's Anatomy. I get up. I start randomly thinking about, why God got me doing all this? It's gonna happen all at once, this and this and that. Why I tuned back into the episode, why the lady said all at once? The boy in the episode, the little boy, his parents had got into an accident or something. And at first the mama died. And so now the mama died. The grandma had to come and take care of the little boy as he was in the hospital with the doctors. Then all of a sudden his daddy went into a coma, and now his daddy can't even take care of the boy. And so the grandma sitting up here like, why is all of this happening all at once? And I was like, Jesus, is you talking to me? So I went to sleep last night after I rewatched my video on YouTube called All At Once. This is not in my notes. Y'all, this ain't even what I have prepared for today. Not to mention, the Lord was just talking to me, giving me the download on a life of obedience because of the scriptures and everything that he gave me this morning. I get on here and we start talking about Gilgal. What is happening? Anyway, I don't know who this is for, but it's going to happen all at once. Every single thing that the Lord has promised you, everything that you are now prepared and ready for, is going to happen all at once. I'm believing by faith that my YouTube channel is going to blow up. I'm believing this podcast is going to blow up. I'm believing the songs that God has given me is going to blow up. I'm believing my Substack is going to blow up. I'm believing this program and this community is going to blow up all at once. Everything that God is leading me to do, even the books, even everything that he's been helping me to do since I've been back here, everything is going to happen all at once. I am believing that. So clearly that's for somebody. That is for somebody. It's going to happen all at once. Don't think it's strange that God is having you do a lot. God, why you got me out here doing all of this stuff? Even if you go back and listen to the episode, God was preparing me to do, at that time, I was doing a lot of things too. It wasn't really pertained to what I'm doing now, but I was doing a lot of things 2 years ago at that time that I recorded that episode. But y'all, Jesus Christ. Ooh, the warfare. The warfare you have been experiencing is an indication. It is a warning that everything is about to happen all at once. Everything. Ooh, all of the seeds that you have planted, you are about to see a harvest for it. Ooh, the harvest is coming. My God, this is not in my notes. The harvest is coming. You are about to see a harvest. Ooh, you're about to see a harvest for your obedience. Oh, we've been asking God, why you got me in this place? Why you got me doing this? Why is this happening? All of these things, you're about to see why. He couldn't give you the revelation then, you wouldn't have handled it right. He didn't give you the understanding then, you wouldn't have understood correctly. You would have leaned on your own understanding. You would have took things in your own way. You would have took matters into your own hands. You weren't ready for the revelation, but now he's giving it to you. Sis, what would your life look like if fear wasn't in the driver's seat anymore? What would your life look like if you fully stepped in to the calling that God has for you? The Living in Pursuit community is your safe space to stop playing small and start showing up as the woman God called you to be. This is a place for female entrepreneurs and creatives who are ready to pursue purpose boldly with the spiritual grounding, emotional maturity, and business strategy to back it up. Inside the community, you'll get coaching, accountability, real conversations, and faith-filled tools to help you break free from fear and move forward with confidence. No more sitting on your gifts. No more shrinking. No more waiting for the right time. It's time to live on purpose. It's time to live in pursuit. The Living in Pursuit community has finally launched, and you can sign up by going to thedreak.com or clicking the link in my show notes below. This is the season to fully get prepared and equipped for ministry. Whether in your business, your personal life, your finances, your creativity journey, or your relationships, now is the time to fully surrender to God's plan and His will and equip yourself in all areas of your life. The Living in Pursuit community is your place to do so. Go ahead and sign up using the code PURSUE at checkout for 50% off of your first month in the community. I hope to see each and every one of you ladies there. Now, let's get back to the episode. So let me try to take y'all through the revelation God gave me this morning about a life of obedience. So this morning I woke up, I literally just, my eyes open and I'm sitting up here looking at the wall. I hear the word door, and the word door, God has been giving me words and scriptures and this revelation to put inside of the 6-month coaching program. So there is a module in there called Doorways, and it talks about the different doorways of our hearts, our minds, our emotions, things like that. So there are doorways that the enemy uses. There are doorways that God uses. So that module is inside of the program. So I hear the word door and I just go randomly look at different scriptures for the word door. Some of them that I came across was 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. And this is in the Amplified version. This is when Paul was on his, I think Paul was talking to somebody, one of the disciples, and he was telling them about some opportunity that came up for him. He says, because a wide door for effective service has opened to me in Ephesus, a very promising opportunity, and there are many adversaries. That right there got me thinking about all of the warfare, all of the things that I have been enduring. It is because a door is about to open up. Clearly, obviously, the door inside of the promised land, doors are literally about to just fly open, right? And that literally made me think, if this door, if it was an opportunity, a promising opportunity that came his way. He said, because of the door for effective service has opened to me, and it's a very promising opportunity, because this door has opened up for me, there have been many adversaries. There has been many attacks on me, my mind, my heart, my finances, everything around me. I have been attacked everywhere from every side, right? And so that was one of the scriptures. The next scripture is Psalms chapter 141, verse 3 in the Amplified version as well. Y'all know I love the AMP. Don't play with me. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips to keep me from speaking thoughtlessly. There goes this revelation of the word door. There are some doorways of your heart. There are some doorways to your mind. There are some doorways to your behaviors. There are some doorways, places of entry. There's an entrance and an exit to every single door. There is a door that presents itself to you to act, to take action, right? So if a door of opportunity comes, you have to take action. When Satan comes to tempt you to get in your flesh and do something outside of alignment, out of alignment with God, there is a door that will open and you will have to have the responsibility of taking the opportunity to either go into that door or shut it completely. Devil, go ahead, get out my face. I'm not walking through this door today. No, I'm not. I'm not going to allow you to get me out of my flesh today. No, sorry. Go ahead, shut the door and lock it. Throw away the key. Okay. So after I'm getting this revelation, mind you, I'm putting all of this inside of the actual module for the program. as God is giving me the revelation for it. So I get up and I start my day. God tells me not to do something this morning. In that moment, he tells me not to do something. And in my mind, I'm like, why? You know how our children be. Go clean your room. Why? Go take a shower. Why? What you mean? Why? Do what I said. You don't need no explanation for what I'm telling you to do. And that's exactly how I felt in that moment. Usually when God wants to give us an instruction, we want to know the reason before we obey. Why? Why do I need to quit my job? Why do I need to stop talking to this person? Why do I need to stop going around here? Why do I need to stop going there? Like, why? Why? I need some understanding, right? But your inability to act quickly is keeping you stuck. It's keeping you stuck. You don't need to know why. You don't need to know why. That is something that I have heavily learned in this season of my life. I don't need to know why. Maybe I'm just not built to handle the why. But I'm steady sitting up here trying to figure out the why. Which brings me to my next point. Usually, if God doesn't give me an answer, I am tempted to fill in the gap myself, meaning lean on my own understanding, which is something that the Lord tells us not to do in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Trust in him. Okay, so you tell me not to do it, and I'm just like, okay, I'm just not do it without having a reason for it. After that, I go back to my room and I sit down to read some scripture. I just feel the need to go back to Haggai chapter 2. Y'all, it's only two chapters in Haggai. So I was like, let me just go ahead and finish out the rest of this chapter because it's not that long anyway. So in Haggai chapter 2, verse 18, this whole chapter, or the whole book of Haggai, is literally God giving the people in that time an opportunity to rebuild the temple. We've been talking about this, y'all. I spoke about it a little here and there, but your temple is a place for God to dwell in, right? So your mind, your will, your emotions, your soul, God wants to dwell in all of those areas, right? Even in your health. You eating certain things, you indulging in certain things may not be good for you. God wants us in this season, really not even just in this season, but as we are entering in the promised land, this is the lifestyle we're going to have to adopt when we get into the promised land. So how you eat and what you eat, what you are indulging in, that is being confronted by the Holy Spirit in this particular hour for a lot of us. So we've been talking about rebuilding the temple, right? The temple is our souls, our hearts, our minds, our bodies, things of that nature, right? So God has just been really teaching me and just highlighting the word temple. So in that chapter, verse 18, it says, from this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. And so y'all know I love the context. I'm like, what's going on? Let's give me some more. I need more. The context says the people rebuilt the temple foundation and immediately God blessed them. Man, I'm not finna play with y'all today. I'm really not. It says he did not wait for the project to be completed. So what it is that you are working on? God is just like, he's telling you to do it for a reason. That's all I'm gonna say. He's telling you to do it for a reason. Trust him, please. He's telling you to do it for a reason, and you have been having this overwhelming pressure of, I just need to get it done. I need to get it completed, this and this and that. But God is not waiting on the project to be completed. He's just waiting on you to be faithful in it. He's waiting on you to be consistent in it. He's going to help you get it done. We just talked about that in a previous episode. He's going to help you get the work done, but he's waiting on you to start it. He's just waiting on you to start it. It further reads, God often sends his encouragement and approval with our first few obedient steps. He is eager to bless us. God, why you got me doing all this? Because, God, why you tell me to quit my job? Because I'm waiting on you to be obedient. I'm waiting on you to be obedient. I'm not waiting on you to understand why. I'm not waiting on you to figure out where we're about to go. I need you just to be obedient. Just do it. So the word foundation stuck out to me. I knew that was a scripture in Matthew. So I went to go find it, and it is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. This is the NIV version. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The reason you're having a mental breakdown is because you chose not to believe God. The reason you are going through so much emotional turmoil is because you did not do what God told you to do. You are being disobedient. You did not put his instruction or his word, the word of God, the scriptures into action, and you chose to get into your flesh. It's okay, no judgment. I'm talking to myself as well, but disobedience caused the crash. Jesus, you crashing out on people, lashing out, cursing people out, getting in your feelings, responding negatively to an offense. And you're crashing out because it is a result of you not obeying the scripture when it says, a soft answer turns away wrath. You're not applying any scriptures that help you not respond in anger. You are not applying the word of God. That makes us disobedient. When I was going through what I was going through, operating in unbelief, unforgiveness, bitterness, all of the things, I was in disobedience, not applying the word. This is exactly what happens when we do not apply the word to our lives. This is why the discipline boot camp is so important, not just for y'all, but for me as well. We have to build discipline in the area of our weaknesses. When we are triggered, we have to rely on the scriptures. We have to build discipline in those areas. So in Matthew chapter, that same chapter, I scrolled up to verse 20, and the context of verse 20 says, just as trees are consistent in the kind of fruit they produce, good teachers consistently exhibit good behavior and high moral character as they seek to live out the truths of scripture. This was talking about false prophets and false teachers and people that just don't really be living by the word of God for real. Now, this applies to anyone who like is a person of leadership, right? In order to be used as a vessel of God, as we were talking about in the last episode, in order to be used as a vessel of God, you have to consistently build discipline in the area of your weakness so that you can become credible morally, integrally. Like, everyone is not going to be able to see what you do behind the scenes, but God will. Yes, you've built up discipline in this area. You've built up discipline in that area. But in this area, you need some more discipline. We need some more discipline in this area, right? But going back to this tree and these fruits, because y'all already know these fruits. The Lord be talking to me about fruits and the fruit of the Spirit and John chapter 15, the branches and the vines and the trees and the fruits and stuff. It said, just as trees are consistent in the kind of fruit they produce. Have you ever walked past an apple tree and that same apple tree produce oranges? or melons or bananas or peaches. No. Why? Because that's an apple tree. That's the only fruit it can produce. Jesus, the seeds that are planted on the inside of that tree allows the tree to bear apples. That is the purpose of the seeds. The seeds that were watered for this tree to grow is purposely designed to produce apples. The moment that apple tree starts producing bananas or peaches or oranges, something's out of line. Ooh, something in that root is going on. Something is going on at the root. What happened? Ooh, why aren't you producing the same fruit that you were producing years ago, months ago, weeks ago? What happened? Who done contaminated your seed? Ooh, Jesus Christ, the Lord in heaven. I'm not finna play with any of y'all today. I'm really not. So you start producing fruit that ain't got nothing to do with the seeds that God planted on the inside of you. So what happened? Who contaminated that seed? The enemy or sin? Sin contaminates the fruit. That's why you an apple tree producing bananas. And your bananas are rotten and they stink and they orange and they should be yellow. Why are you producing bad fruit? Because sin has contaminated my seed. So now I'm producing something outside of God's will. Now I'm producing something that is a perverted version of what God had originally intended for me to produce. Again, John chapter 15, we cannot produce any good fruit apart from the vine, and the vine is Jesus. We can't produce the fruit of the Spirit, love, patience, joy, kindness, gentleness, self-control, without Jesus, without being connected to the vine. When we are not connected to the vine, we produce bad fruit, stanky apples and oranges and bananas. Sin contaminates the fruit through the root. Y'all seen that movie? I keep going to Inside Out. Y'all, I love that movie. Y'all already know. Inside Out 2, when Riley got into a new atmosphere and she started to second guess herself, seeds of doubt, seeds of unbelief in herself, all of those seeds started to plant, right? And it began to build a belief system. It began to build a belief system that she wasn't good enough, that she needed to go outside of God's will in order to get on this team that she wanted to get on. She needed to start doing things that she normally didn't do in order to produce the results that she wanted. Anxiety crept in and started contaminating her thoughts, her emotions, getting her to do things outside of her true character. Now she acting a fool, going out her way, trying to people please the coach so that she can get on the team. She's purposely ignoring her best friends, acting like she don't know them, trying to get into a new group, get some new friends, trying to act as if she's a different person. She's acting abnormal. She's not even being herself. Whole time, the root of what she believed in herself, the root of her character, was contaminated by anxiety and fear. Again, I'm not about to play with y'all today. The reason why our fruit, the fruit that we produce, is sometimes inconsistent is because the foundation is rocky. The foundation is unstable. It's wavering. Your belief system is wavering. One day you're believing in God for this thing. The next day you're doubting it. One day you're prophesying and speaking life into your situation. The next day you're being overtaken by the struggles and the stress of the world. Your belief system is constantly compromised because your foundation is not built on biblical principles. It's not built on the word of God because you're not applying the word of God to every situation in your life. Granted, it do be some situations that be coming out of nowhere. It be hitting you out of nowhere. And it be stuff that you ain't never dealt with before. So now you're like, how do I deal with this? I've never been here before, Jesus. But in those moments, our new belief system is whatever I'm going through, I have to go to the word of God. No matter what season I'm in, no matter what I am enduring, no matter what emotions I am experiencing, whatever warfare I am experiencing, the discipline to go to God and go to my word, go to my scripture, begin filling my mind up with scriptures, that has to be my new belief system. That has to be my new process. Jesus, this is why in the programs and the courses and, you know, the 21-day discipline boot camps and everything like that, that is what we are doing. Okay, I know you're used to doing this, but we're not going to do that no more. Let's do this instead. It's literally, Jesus. These programs and everything that God has been giving me to do is literally breaking strongholds. Y'all know what a stronghold is? There are two Google definitions. The first one is a place. A stronghold is a place that has been fortified so as to protect it against attack. The second one is a place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended or upheld. When you believe that you are unworthy of love, trying to convince you otherwise is going to be a struggle because you have a stronghold against that thought. I'm unworthy. I am not enough. I will not be able to ever do this. I'm not qualified. I'm not lovable. No one loves me. All of these things, that all of these lies, Jesus, that the enemy has been giving you inside of your mind, in your thought processes, you have built up a stronghold against those beliefs. Those thoughts are now fortified, and it's hard to break it down. It's hard to get through the barrier that you have created against that particular belief in your life. The 21-day discipline bootcamp, the 6-month coaching program, all of that, everything, even me just talking on this podcast is breaking strongholds. But the only way to break it is through the word of God and through applying the scriptures, building your discipline up in this area of your life. That's the only way. This is why y'all see me going through so much warfare. The enemy does not want anyone to get what God has been giving me. The enemy does not want certain videos to go viral. The enemy does not want certain teachings to get a hold of certain people. The enemy does not want my podcast reaching certain people. It's just, that is why we are experiencing what seems to be delay. It's not God, it's the enemy trying to hold it up. That's why you feel like you've been being held back. That's why you feel like God has been purposely holding you back whole time. You don't even know what you carry. You don't even know the power that you have on the inside of you. What Paul said, an opportunity presented itself, and at that door of the opportunity, there are many adversaries. The definition of an adversary is one's opponent in a contest, conflict, or dispute. This is why in the Bible it refers to Satan as our enemy. Satan, your enemy. Satan is not God's enemy. He's our enemy. So the stuff that we are fighting against, of course, it's spiritual, but it's also because the devil does not want anybody listening to you or understanding you. So that's why he sends people into your life who purposely reject you. He wants you to keep coming into agreement with rejection so that you don't understand who you really are. He wants you to continue to have low self-esteem so that you don't step out on faith and do the thing God is calling you to do. Jesus, the enemy wants you blind. He wants to keep you blind from who you actually are. Because if you knew who you actually were and the power you carried, the power that your courses, your podcast, your business, your voice contains the type of power that you have on the inside of you. If you only knew, if you ever came into agreement with that power, you would understand why you are experiencing so much warfare, why you are experiencing so much delay, why you are experiencing so much abandonment and rejection. A lot of people cannot handle your light. Even if you can't see how bright you shine, a lot of people don't know how to deal with that. It intimidates them. It is a reflection of their own darkness. When people see you operating in your gifts, when people see that you are heavily into your word, applying the scripture, being used by the Lord, they get in their emotions and their feelings about that, and they start feeling insecure. Well, dang, I ain't like that. Well, I can't be like that. That's crazy. I wish I was like that. Your light is a reflection of their darkness. This is why they try to dim your light any chance they get. I don't know who that was for, but that's not in my notes. So clearly, the Holy Spirit needed y'all to hear that part as well. Where was I? What? Inconsistent fruit. Okay. So the foundation is rocky. It's unstable. It's wavering. So there's something going on in your belief system that is causing you to produce bad fruit, right? So in that context, it also, you know, refers to leaders, great leaders. Great leaders obey God. They have a life of obedience. They apply scripture and live it out. Is that easy to do? No. Will you build up the discipline necessary in time? Yes. Is it possible to fully apply the word of God to your life? Yes. But as a leader, this is something you're going to have to live by each and every single day. You can't be laxed. You can't be lazy around certain areas of weakness. You can't, especially if you are a leader. If you are called to serve God's people and have influence and operate on a higher level, you don't get the luxury of not applying the word to your life. You don't get the luxury of not studying your word. You don't have the luxury of not being connected to the vine, being connected to Jesus Christ at all times. You don't have that luxury, sweetie. When we live a life of obedience, we are actively applying the scripture to our lives. The scripture is becoming our lifestyle. The scriptures are becoming our belief system. The scriptures become our emotional responses. The scriptures become our manual for dealing with every single season and situation in our lives. When we do not obey and apply the word, we become disobedient and we self-destruct. Obedience forms the connection with God. Disobedience damages it. This is why you can't hear. This is why you can't see. This is why you can't discern. This is why you can't feel God. This is why I feel like God ain't really around for real. Because you're not applying the word. Somewhere in that root, somewhere along the line, that seed got corrupted. And so now you got to backpedal, trace it back and see, okay, what happened? What went wrong? Because now I'm producing bad fruit. And the result of bad fruit is disobedience, period. Point blank, simple. Disobedience. Bad fruit can be considered your thought process. It could be your thoughts. It could be your emotions. It could be your responses. It can be your behaviors. That is the actual bad fruit. Your inability to trust people, your inability to love, your fear of being in a relationship again. All of that is because your seeds have been contaminated by sin. It's been contaminated through the brokenness of other people. Somebody in your life damaged that seed. But instead of relying on the scriptures, instead of forgiving, instead of moving on and going through that process of grief with Jesus, with the scriptures, you are out here self-destructing, being used by the devil, living in disobedience, operating in unbelief. Again, as we are talking about temples, God reminded me of this scripture when I was looking up scriptures for the word foundation, I went to Matthew, but then I had to go back to Ezra. This scripture had the word foundation in it as well. And this is a chapter that God had me reading, I want to say like a month or two ago. Ezra chapter 3, verse 10 in the NIV version says, "When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites with cymbals took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel." God is waiting for us to be obedient, to build the discipline of obeying him, no matter if you have a reason or any understanding or not. He is waiting for us to adopt a lifestyle of obedience. And mind you, God gives us an opportunity to be obedient every single day. This morning when he told me not to do the thing he told me not to do, I had a choice to make. I could have rationalized. I could have been like, oh, that wasn't God. I could have literally allowed my flesh to control what I did and did not do. But building a life, rebuilding the temple, my God, means that you begin to do things differently. Yes, I experienced unbelief. I experienced depression. I experienced anger. I experienced bitterness, but I do not have to continue to operate in that. My only way out is to apply the scriptures to my life. I can't run from it. I can't avoid it. I can't do anything in my own strength. I have to rely on Jesus, the Holy Spirit, staying connected to the vine so that I can continue to produce consistent fruit. Living a lifestyle of obedience to God will get you the results that you need in order to obtain everything God is calling you to do. Obedience guarantees the promise, every single part of the process. If God tells you to stop talking to that man in this season, you got to stop talking to him. Be obedient. If God tells you to stop watching certain things, go ahead, stop watching it. Be obedient. You don't need to know the reason. You don't need to try to figure it out on your own. Just do what God told you to do and trust that he knows what he's doing. Can we just begin to trust Jesus for real, for real? Because clearly he is all knowing. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. We don't know nothing. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. So clearly we have to trust him. We should, because trusting ourselves and leaning on our own understanding is causing destruction. And I am sick of being destructed. What about you all? Whatever part of your temple needs to be rebuilt in this season, whatever cracks and openings that you have going on in your foundation that needs to be repaired and renewed, go ahead, let God rebuild the temple. Let him rebuild that foundation. Go ahead, redo whatever it is that needs to be undone. But this time, build it on a foundation of belief towards God and his word. Build it on a belief of obedience to everything and anything that God is calling you to do. That's all I got. That's all I got. We're past 30 minutes, but it's okay. I mean, hopefully, we got what we needed to get, and the Lord will be praised. Look, go ahead and share this episode with somebody. Leave a review, leave a rating. Go ahead and sign up for the community. If you are a female entrepreneur who is ready to dive into her calling and desires to launch her brand and business God's way, go ahead and click the link in my show notes. If you want to be a part of my first ever in-person event happening May 24th, 2025 here in Baton Rouge, click the link in my show notes as well. And finally, we are in an all-at-once season, okay? So, you know, pick a resource. Just pick something, okay? Pick something. The 21-Day Discipline Bootcamp has officially launched. April 21st, we are beginning the journey of transformation, okay? We are rebuilding the foundation. We are building a life of obedience towards God and his word. Go ahead and click the link in my show notes as well, or visit my website, thedreak.com. I love you guys. I truly do, because the Lord be out here just giving me revelation and stuff like that. And sometimes I don't be believing him because of the stuff that be going on in my life. But then he be alerting me and warning me that if I don't be believing him, that I'm not going to see the promise. So when I don't see the stuff that he be telling me to do, I need to stop. Bye. I love you guys. And I will talk to you in my next episode. Bye.